Good morning. Welcome back. It is Wednesday, June 24th. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. Hope everyone's doing well. Another great day, another great run. Hot.
Humid.
Is it hot and humid where you're at? It is fucking humid here on the East Coast. But whatever, it was great. Good sweat. I love finishing the run and just being soaking wet and, you know, just, I don't know, just, it's good, good time. So how's everybody doing? What's going on? I was sitting on the porch after my run with my wife and she asked me, what's a dry drunk? And I was like, oh, that's easy. You know, it's just a person who is not drinking that doesn't go to meetings. Well, I'm a person that's not drinking, and I haven't been going to meetings. Am I dry? I have been a dry drunk before. I was a dry drunk before I drank. 5 years into it. 5 years to me is the, like, that spot. I love talking to people that have 5 years sober. They're so, you know, so proud, and they should be. But, man, I can remember at 5 years what a fucking mess I was. I had it all figured out. I was at the peak of my amazingness. Look at me, 5 years. I was, we were walking down the road. We'd finished running. We usually, like, if it's hot, if it's, you know, listen, we're 50, 51, we're old. Not that old. There's older doing better. I get it. But for us at 51, I'm feeling old and I'm just grateful I got to do anything. But, you know, on a day like today, we ran probably 4¾ miles and stopped at a coffee shop that we're, you know, live in a small town. You know, we know the lady. It's a great thing about a small town. You can, I mean, you can do that in any town, I guess. But it's nice because we run to the little coffee shop and we know her, Layla. Good morning, or Sue, or whoever's working. Get a coffee, put it on our tab, and then walk home. And this fucking, this person I know, 5 years sober, goes flying by, 60 miles an hour. So I text her, good morning, speed limit's 40. And I actually was a little, I didn't even know if I should write that. I didn't even know if I needed to poke my nose into that business. But, you know, the reality is the speed limit's 40 miles an hour. But she's sober, right? She's 5 years sober. She's got it all figured out. Flies by. And so I text her, you know, good morning. Speed limit's 40. She texts me back. The, you know, like she's flipping me off. The flip off emoji. The bird. I'm like, yeah, that's 5 years sober right there. She got it all figured out.
I'm full of regrets for all the things that I have done and said, and I don't know if it'll ever be okay to show my face around here. Sometimes I wonder if I disappear. Would you ever turn? If I'm gone, 'cause I fear there is nothing left to say. And to you, that you wanna hear, that you wanna know, I think I should go. The things I've done are way too shameful. Oh. Your dust, innocent, helpless victim of a spider's web. Turn your head and run, and don't look back, 'cause I fear there is nothing left to say. And to you, that you wanna hear, that you wanna know, I think I should go. The things I've done are way too shameful. Oh.
I was thinking the other day about this song. I did some some vlogs and used this song in a vlog video, and I was like, God, man, what a fucking great song. You know, showing my face around here, the shame and all the shit I've done. You know, but 5 years sober, and this person has the, you know, and maybe she's kidding. I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be funny. Maybe I'm the one that's dry. Maybe it's me. But, you know, like my buddy used to say, we're arrogant. Rules don't apply. Rules didn't apply to her. I'm sure she's in a hurry. Got shit to do. But now she can drive 60 miles an hour and give me the bird. Fuck you, Tom. That's fine. I guess that's where it tests my sobriety. What's my response? You know. Then I start thinking, what can I say to create the most pain with the least amount of work and still fall under the umbrella of being the sober person? It's a constant test, right? You know, what should I do? I mean, a perfect sober person, you know, into spirituality and understanding. I'm like, oh, no problem. I just wrote back nice. Sometimes those little words can be effective. I mean, I don't care. It's about being sober. You know, I don't want to be the sober police, but I've been there. I've been the one sending the bird emoji. Sobriety's tough. I think a lot of people get sober because they have to. I did. I didn't just say one day, oh my God, lifting this glass of vodka to my mouth is exhausting. No, I had to fucking drive my life into the ground, lose everything, become comfortable with nothing. You know, all that, having nothing, living in this one bedroom, dirty ass apartment, having this shitty ass job, driving a piece of shit car, hanging out with shitty ass people, fighting, going to jail, having, you know, secretly calling AA, thinking about suicide, all that shit was fine. But getting punched in the mouth and being humiliated and having to explain why I got stitches again, that was enough to try to get me sober. So, I mean, the fuel to get me sober was kind of bogus, right? It's like, fine, I'll go. If I can get the heat off me. And I think you hope that you get into something like that and eventually the shit starts to stick and you know, maybe you have a chance of making it. What's a dry drunk? A person that basically is not drinking. Can you be dry and go to meetings? I think we all start off that way. Well, I think we probably, you know, you start off with on that pink cloud. It's all new. People like me. I'm being asked to do stuff, participate. People are counting on me. That feels good. But that shit starts to fade off. And we're left with ourselves. We're at that fork. I know that's what happened to me. You know, I was involved in AA when I got sober, big time. I think I did 120 meetings in 90 days. I was in it. I loved it. I loved it. But as soon as I had to take a job in another town, as soon as I started going to different meetings, I didn't, you know, I used to go to a lot of meetings, and at the end of the meeting, we'd pass a basket. I started going to this meeting in Easton, and they used to pass the basket at the beginning of the meeting. I'd be like, why? Why do you need my money already? You know, why is this about the money? Is this only about the money? Or we would do, you know, read the whole 12 steps, you know, the big version. Why? It's a waste of time. I mean, why do I have to care? You know, why did I drink so much and why did I get myself in this thing where now I'm involved in this program? But that shit starts to undermine you. And then you're just miserable and people can see it. I remember I was so sensitive. People used to call me out on my shit and it would just wreck me. Because I was a fraud. I wasn't drinking. But I was a miserable person. It's a shame. You know, so listen. Good luck. right? Good luck to me. You know, I'm feeling a little dry. My buddy sent me a link to do a Zoom meeting this morning, and I didn't make it. I didn't make the meeting. And my wife's like, what? Because I said, I'm going to go try to make this Zoom meeting. And she's like, what is Zoom meetings? I go, they do meetings on Zoom. You can watch them. You can join in the meeting. She's like, well, maybe we can try to do one tonight. And I was like, okay. You know, my wife doesn't drink. So maybe we'll check that out. But I failed to make the 8 o'clock Zoom meeting. I understand the dryness. I understand I always say if you think you're sober, you're probably not. If you think you're not sober, you're probably headed towards back to sobriety. It's kind of a head game. It's like running. You need to run. Okay. Start running. You're tired. Stop. Okay, I stop. What'd you stop for? I don't know. Start running. Okay. it's like two sides. It's like you know, there's the dark and the light. You know, usually you're one of the two. I'm in the light or I'm in the dark. But sometimes with sobriety, it's like I have the light and the dark on both sides. Who invited both of them? You know, you're supposed to have one angel on one shoulder, or the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. I got the angel and the devil on both sides. I mean, on one side. And then I'm constantly analyzing it. It's crazy. But it's great. You know? I love that I don't drink today. I love it. Sometimes I don't love sobriety, though. That someone said that AA mind. It's exhausting. You know, why do I care if someone drives by me at 60 miles an hour? Believe me, there will be a time today where I exceed the speed limit. There will be a time today where the speed limit does not apply to me. There will be periods in this day where shit doesn't apply to me. If I'm being inconvenienced, if I'm running behind, if I've got a schedule and it's not working out, or I'm supposed to see this or do this or talk to somebody and it isn't going the way I planned, all of a sudden those rules start to not apply to me. It will happen today, but I'm not dry. Yeah. I mean, sometimes if I, you know, maybe I should, you know, I was talking to my friend, he said, oh, what's this podcast? And I go, you know, it's a podcast, you know, the journey after getting sober, you know, and I think it's like, are you sober or are you mind your own fucking business sober? And he started laughing because he gets it. You know, it's when do I mind my own business? How did I get so tangled? That's what I love about playing these songs. I don't make any money from podcasting. You know, we don't have any advertisers. I haven't tried. I don't care. So no one's going to, you know, demonetize me from playing someone's music. But, you know, some of these songs I play and then they're like, wow. You know, it sounds like the singer from Maroon 5 at some point was going through some shit. You know, I listen to a lot of Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder writes a lot of stuff about sobriety. But the guy drinks, you know, a shitload of wine, smokes cigarettes. I don't know what he does. But it definitely doesn't seem like a guy that's, you know, sober. Or at least from drink. But he writes a lot of stuff that make me think about, you know, my sobriety. One of the biggest things that I've ever learned, and I'd heard it. I heard it 100 times. But I decide how I feel. You know, it's my choice. You know, and when you come to, one of the first things when I started coming to AA or a 12-step program was the one thing that used to always say to me is that you can restart your day at any time. And that was like amazing to me. You know, and then Eddie Vedder wrote about it. You know, I choose how I feel. I choose to let things bother me. And today, you know, we're in the past, even 5 years sober, things would fucking come in my life and grind into me, grind me down, wear me out. Picking up a drink, grinding through it, finally getting sober. Here I am today, and I see it, though. You know, like this thing, this person driving 60 miles an hour, this could be the theme of the day for me. This could be a justified rant. But I'm not going to let it bug me. I've been there. I'm not mad at her. I was mad at her earlier. I was like, fuck that. Shit. But now I just, you know, a few minutes, you know, cooler heads prevail, and I've thought about it, and, you know, her and I are there's no difference between us, you know. There will be a time today where I will exceed the speed limit, and I will become arrogant, and the rules that are in place won't apply to me. And it's just the way it goes, people. It's just being able to recognize it, address it, talk about it, change my day. You know, reset the day. I could do it at any time, as many times as I want today. You know, do I have to let shit take me down? No. Pray about it. You know, I've said it before, one of the biggest gifts of getting sober and getting into this program is the relationship with the higher power. Why is that such a fucking weird topic? You know, I hear people say, oh, I like this program, but I don't believe in God, and I don't want to have a relationship with a higher power, but I'll do everything else. Isn't that like the key? The open-mindedness, the faith? Like everything that I've learned up to this point about a higher power or a relationship with a higher power or God or going to church, maybe it hasn't worked out. I've said it before, the only relationship I had with the higher power was, what can this higher power give me? What can I pray about? What can this higher power save me from, get me out of, or fill my pockets? That was all I cared about. Never has it ever worked in that capacity. In that version of the higher power that I wanted, it's never been good. So, of course, I have an issue with it. A fucking higher power. God don't work. God never got me a job. Coming into a program, they say, you know, a relationship with a higher power. And I hear, see it all the time. I'll take everything but that. And it wasn't until I had that everything else made sense. Making a list. Doing that fifth step. You know, I'm like, why do you have to say it out loud? Why can't I just, you know, make my fifth step, write it all out, and then just sit in a corner and read it to myself? There's no shame in that, though. You know, to sit down with another human being and dump out all of your embarrassment. Even the last fifth, every time I've done a fifth step, I never really come clean with everything. Just too embarrassing or too much shame, you know? But we've all heard it. We've all seen it. We've all done it. We know nobody's special. You know, I actually take that back. I did finally put everything out there, but I couldn't do it with my sponsor. I had to do my fifth step with one of my first sponsors. I called him out of the blue. I'm like, listen, I need to do my fifth step. I'm going to come over and just do it. And he's like, okay. And I just read it. He's like, all right, how do you feel? I go, better. but it had to come out of my mouth. The shame. You know, it's like running. And then if you're by yourself, I run with my friend. He's slower than me, which just doesn't matter. But, you know, so we run to about 2.5 miles out, and then we run about 2.5 miles back. At 2.5 miles, I'm by myself. I could run at 2.3 miles and turn around. No one's watching me. Right? But I want to be honest today. So I run the full 2.5 miles. It's the same with that fifth step, you know. I could do it by myself, say it, but I really want what comes from it, the growth. I compare it to like if you've ever been asked to speak at a meeting. I remember the first time when I came to the program, don't ask me to talk. I have nothing to say. My sponsor said, you have nothing to say for the first year. And then after that, you can introduce yourself, and that's all you have to say. And for every year, I think he said you get a minute. I don't know if it was a minute or 10 seconds. I don't remember, but it was like pretty much basically just sit there and shut the fuck up. Because anything I would say in the first year would be self. It would be about self. It would take a year for me to realize that I have nothing to say. But I remember that, you know, that 1 year anniversary, you have to set up front and get your coin and share. I was fucking petrified, mortified, frozen with fear that I was going to have to set up there. Because it's like the ultimate self-centered fear moment. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And then I did it. I fumbled my words. I babbled for, fucking what seemed like an eternity. It was probably 4 minutes. I don't even know what I said. But I tell you what, when I was done, this wave of peace and serenity came over me. I worked through a moment. I came to that fork. Self didn't want me to say anything. Self wanted me to sit there and say nothing. Because all self wants is if I can say something that's going to save the room, that's what self wants. But if I'm going to look like a fool or sound like I don't know what I'm talking about or fumble my words, self's like, nah, let's not do that, Tom. You got a reputation here. It's that fork. But what I should do is set up front, share, and, you know, if I'm an idiot, let everybody know, man, it's okay that I can sit up there, look like an idiot, feel like an idiot, and still not, you know, I'm not bursting into flames. I survived. I mean, that's what I want to be, is an example. I don't think there's anybody that comes into a 12-step program that isn't afraid for the first time that they're going to share when they share. I think we all suffer from the same thing, disease of self, and I think all of the people want the same thing, and that's self to look good. And I think we all have fear of looking like an idiot, so all of us fear speaking. It's the ones that love it. You know, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. But, man, when that first time you speak is over with, whoo. And even continuing, you know, into sobriety, you know, going to meetings and sharing, sit there and be like, all right, I want to say something. All right, the next time. And then someone cuts in, and then someone says something, you're like, oh, God, now I don't want to say anything. That's the moment right before the miracle happens. Right before, you know, I'll be running, and my mind will say, you know, stop running. You're tired. And if I push through that, that's right where the miracle happens. That's the change. That's pushing through that fear. Is when the change happens. Then you do it and you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. It's short-lived. You know, fear shows up again. You know, today I can be told something and it can start to well on me. And I say, listen, man, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It'll all work out eventually. Stay in the moment. Relax. Be chill. How's everybody doing? So, I started an Instagram page if you want to follow me. I'm sorry about last night on Instagram. I'm not doing a lot with it. I'm posting my runs and just hanging out. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know what to do, but I did it. If you guys have any questions or you like or dislike something, you know, you can reach me on that if you want. And, you know, a couple of things I need to start doing better. I need to start getting my meetings going, whether I guess it's going to be with Zoom now. I need to focus on that. I need to mind my own business. And I need to remind myself that I'm capable of still being arrogant at any point of the day. So don't think I'm perfect, Tom, because you're not. You can still slip into that dry moment. And that's true and that's real. And, you know, keep thinking about the big picture. You know, my, I think I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow. I'll talk about my mom. We had to put my mom in a home. And if anybody knows anything about, you know, what's going on, a lot of these, you know, long-term facilities for the elderly have really been hit by this COVID-19. And, you know, we put my mom in a home and we were thinking, you know, it'd be safe for her. And we found out last night that my mom has the COVID-19 and she's in an elderly long-term facility. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what's that mean? It is one of the toughest things for me right now is dealing with this thing with my mom. You know, we had to my dad couldn't take care of her, you know, and I've talked about it before. We're grateful. You know, I told my mom, be blessed, man. It's a freaking a lot of money to have a parent in one of these places. And, you know, my dad saved up his money and he's able to pay for it. But now she's in this place and now she has COVID-19. And if you've watched anything or know anything about COVID-19 in elderly homes, it's killing everybody in there. So is this my mom's, you know, is this it? And, you know, it's sad. And the tough part is that my mom has dementia and she went blind and she has, you know, all this stuff going wrong, but she's tough. You know, I could see my mom living, you know, 5 years. She's not dying. She can't, you know, she falls down. She doesn't know where she's at. There's a lot of issues, but she's not dying. So, you know, and as a son, you know, I think, God, I don't want my mom to live that life in this home blind with us not being able to see her. I mean, what kind of existence is that? But at the same time, you know, I love my mom. I don't want my mom to die. So that's kind of what's going on with that. And, you know, it's tough. So I think I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow and just kind of chat about my mom because I love her. And she, you know, she adopted us. She picked us. It's tough enough having kids that you actually birth or part of their, you know, birthing. But to pick a kid and raise them and love them, that's tough. So she's just a huge part of my life, and I'm so bummed right now that she's got this COVID-19. And you know, I just love her, and I just hope that she's going to make it. And but I think that'll be for tomorrow's podcast. I hope everyone has a great day, and you know, stay sober. I don't know. Don't drink. That's what I'm going to do today, and just keep reminding myself, bro, you are not perfect. And you're not here to tell everybody they're not perfect either.
If I keep holding out, will the light shine through under this broken roof? It's only rain that I feel. I
I've been wishing out the day. Oh, 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 come back. I have been planning out what did I say to you since you slipped away. Know that I still remain true. I've been wishing out.